I'm not going to preach on Father's Day today. That's why I'm welcoming everybody. I'm just going to go ahead and share with what the Lord put on my heart. And I'm going to talk with you this morning about living a holy life. About living a holy life. First of all, the place where we start in Christianity is we get saved. And the way that we know that we're saved is the Bible says that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart on the Lord Jesus. And when we do that, we know that the Scripture says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door and let me in, I'll come and I'll live with them and I'll sup with them." The Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I quote the last part of that scripture a lot, but I wanted to read the whole scripture today. It says, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, believers, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Okay? So the Word of God says that he's our Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. He has made us right. And because of that, we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So when the Father sees us, he sees us through the Son, and he sees us right and in right standing. Now, you know what? Most of the Christian world, believe it or not, doesn't understand that. They really don't understand it because they get it confused. Now, look, there's a lot of other things. I'm talking about the basics of Christianity. There's a lot of other things. We need to be baptized in water and make that confession to the world that we've been buried with him in death and risen with him in resurrection to the new man. The old man's dead. The new man is alive. I'm going to allude to that in a little bit. We know that it's not enough just having the Holy Spirit reside on the inside of you. We literally want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or immersed in the Spirit, which is what that means. Where we're literally filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, where we have that prayer language that we regularly are able to pray in the Spirit. But righteousness and rightness with God is who we are. Now, there's another part of that which people confuse, and that's they confuse righteousness with behavior. And God performed the righteousness part, but what a lot of people have never been taught is you and I are responsible for the behavior part. And if we were to talk about how we're responsible for the behavior part, then that would be what we would refer to as holiness. So holiness is what you've seen through the years of what people call holiness. How your hair is and how you dress and whether you wear makeup or not. Or you notice whenever people are trying to put rules on the church, they're always predominantly trying to put it on women. I always thought that was interesting. The control part was for women. But Christianity is really the best thing that ever happened to the liberation of women if people really interpreted the Bible properly and correctly. So holiness is our behavior, and it's what you and I are responsible to change. So God does the heart work, and God does the heart part, and which is why you get saved. And when you get saved, when I got saved, I knew that something had happened, but you know my head hadn't been notified yet. I knew something had happened in my heart. But in my head, I was still thinking the same old way and thinking, well, nothing's really happened here. But you know, God is looking for us to live holy lives acceptable unto Him. And you know, the Holy Spirit is at work, if we'll put the Holy Spirit at work, to do what it is that God would have us do. You and I are... When I say holiness is in reference to our behavior, every one of us are responsible to bring our behavior in line and in submission to the Word of God. And the bottom line is, when we are holy, when we allow, you want to know how to really live a holy life? This is the key today. You're holy when you allow your thinking to agree with and your thinking to be in alignment with God's Word, period. I mean, that's how you bring yourself into holiness. You bring your life in line with God's Word. You bring your life in alignment with God's Word. And when you do that, you know that you're living a holy life. And some people go, well, there's no way. There's no way to live like the Bible says that we're to live. There's no way that you can take the Word of God and live up to that standard. Well, there absolutely is. And not only are we, is there a way we can do it? We're supposed to do it. We're not supposed to settle for status quo and think that because I'm a little bit, first of all, you're in sin if you're comparing where you're at to anybody else. What's that got to do with anything? We're accountable to God for how we live our life. What you're accountable for is how your life lines up with the Word of God and what God's called you to do. And where you stand in line with the Word of God. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. You know, I notice on Facebook and blogs and social networking and stuff like that, I notice that many times there are people on there that they pick out certain people that they don't like. And then there's some people that's really bitter and been burned, and they don't like anything about established religion as they refer to it. Well, Jesus didn't like established religion either, but you don't have to go attacking a bunch of people. There's a lot of churches that I could go into today and listen to most of what they preach and wouldn't agree with it, but I'm not going to sit around and talk about them. I'm going to be so caught up in what God wants me to do. You know, how much focus does that take away from God and what God's doing and the goodness of God for me to be even looking at what anybody else is saying and doing when it's none of my business in the first place? You know, that person who's pastoring that church, that's preaching that sermon that may not line up with the Word of God, what's that got to do with me? I should be so concerned about that I'm going to come and share the Word with you, I'm not going to be concerned about what those people are doing. It takes away from what God is doing, right? But I could go to that church and not agree with a lot of stuff that's being preached, but I promise you I could find something in there that's being preached right, and something that I could glean from, and I could spit out the bones and move forward, right? But lots of times we do get caught up in putting our input into a bunch of stuff that's none of our business, that nothing that we're talking about affects our lives in any way other than we brought it into our life and we started talking about it. You know? And that's not holiness as I see it. When I see if I'm supposed to do what the Bible says and I'm supposed to bring my life into holiness and in line with what God's Word says, I don't think there's any of us in here that when we cut ourselves open to see ourselves from the inside out, which, by the way, is where the Word resides, when we take a look in a mirror and we try to mirror where we stand versus what the Word of God is that we have in our heart, every one of us need work. We can't go around just saying, well, you know, I think God's okay with that. Well, if God's okay with it, why are you telling me you think God's okay with it? You know? And by the fact that you told me you think God's okay with it, lets me know that you know that God ain't okay with it. Man, I do a lot of counseling with a lot of people, and it's amazing to me what people can justify of the Word that doesn't apply to them. Well, that's not... man, if you're trying to justify away some word that doesn't apply to you, the word applies to all of us. It applies to every one of us. And we can have our little Christianese and Christianisms all we want to, and we can have these little sayings that we have, you know, like, well, you know, you can really say anything you want to about anybody as long as you add those few words, bless their darling heart. Well, no, I don't get it either. I mean, sounds cute, but don't work. You were talking about them? No matter what you add to the end of it, that's not right. You know? And we try to justify it, you know, in a joking, cute little manner. But, you know, how's that going to stand up versus what God's looking for in His Word and for us living a holy life? Can you imagine, I just can't imagine Paul and the other disciples and Jesus being so concerned. You remember the disciples came to Jesus? And the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, they're over there and they're doing this in your name. And we told them to stop because... And where they were really going is, you know, we're the disciples. If Jesus is saying anything, we know it. So they hadn't even spent that kind of time with you. And Jesus says, listen, you know, if they're doing it in my name and by what it is that I'm saying, then it's okay. Leave them alone. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Let everybody go with the revelation they have, doing what they're doing, and it really is none of our concern. I see people picking on the Joel Osteens and some of those people, and you know, it's common in Word of Faith and Pentecost. You know, we're not any way we don't go through a lot of the issues that the old time Pentecostal people did anymore, but there is. People who look down on Pentecostals and Word of Faith people, and we're kind of accustomed to that. But you know, it's amazing to me that some of the people that they pick out who are positive, you know, I listen to Joel Osteen preach, and I really can't find a lot that I'm not liking. Is he as strong as I would be? Probably not. But he gets his point across. He's building people up and encouraging people and uplifting people, man. And if the world's going to go after anybody, and the Christian world's going to go after anybody, they go after him. And you know, I look at that. They go after women ministers, and they go after, you know. I just have always thought that that's amazing. But we are going to be judged according to the Word. Regardless of what it is that we think about the Word. That's the bottom line. So, it's fundamental to mine and your success as Christians that we renew our minds with the Word of God every day, on a daily basis. We've got to renew our minds with the Word of God. And, you know, sometimes we'll read some of this word and some of the stuff we've been reading lately about judgment and all that kind of stuff is a little tough to get through sometimes because it seems like it's the thing that we're reading over and over and over. But it applies and it's good for us and we need to read it. And I tell you what, I've gleaned quite a few gems out of the scripture here the last few days in some of these little minor prophets. As I'm reading through the Bible in a year. And, you know, we need to have our mind renewed with it every day. And if we don't allow the Word to change our thinking and our way of life, we'll never really know what it means to be holy. We need to know that the Word of God is what it is that does the renewing. And we also need to know that that's what it means to be holy. We've got to get in that Word and do what the Word of God says. And here's what you need to know. God wants us to partake of His holiness. That's how we're going to be holy. We're going to be holy by partaking of His holiness. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And go to verse 10. Hebrews 12, 10. And Dougie, I want to look that up in the Amplified. Hebrews 12, 10 in the Amplified. You got it? For our earthly fathers disciplined us only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in his own holiness. Now listen, this is why there's lots of people that said, well, God allowed them to walk through this and for the enemy to attack their body and cause havoc in their finances and in their life. This is why God allowed it, because he was disciplining them. No, that's not it at all. That is a lie. And you're accusing God of doing something that the enemy does. You know, because that's what the world does. God doesn't do that. God disciplines us one way, with his word. Right? When I read the word, I should know what I'm doing. Now, there's consequences when we don't act on the word and do what the word is, but that's not God disciplining us. We do the word. When we don't do the word, we get the repercussions of not doing the word, which means we've opened the door and allowed the enemy to get a foot in the door, right? And whenever you open the door and allow the enemy to get a foot in the door, then you're open for the attack of the enemy. So we've got to take the word and do what the word says. Holiness has to become, and remember, holiness is our behavior. Right is who we are. We have a right standing with God. Holiness is our behavior. And holiness has to become a lifestyle for us as Christians. Once again, holiness is not how long your hair is. Holiness is not, if you wear jewelry or if you've got tats on your body or if, women wear pants instead of dresses and whether or not women wear makeup and whether men wear long sleeves. And the church I grew up in, if you were holiness, men and women couldn't partake in mixed bathing. So that meant that nobody could go, men and women couldn't swim together. Well, I'm not taking a bath with women. If I'm swimming, I'm in the water, and there happens to be some women in there. But mixed bathing. And so when the kids went to camp, the boys swam in one side, and the women swam in the other side. Or they had different times. The boys swam at this time, and the girls swam at this time. And that was holy. But that's not the only thing. We couldn't go bowling. You know why? Because you got to flee the very appearance of evil. What is evil with a ball and a bunch of pins? What they were trying to say was they served alcohol there. And because you would be around that, but that's not what they said. Flee the very appearance of evil. Okay, can we go to the movie? No, that's sin. Why? Because you got to flee the very appearance of evil. Like I can't go to a good movie that doesn't have all that mess in it, right? And the bottom line is, the TV, they think that TV is sinful. But the church was so negative about TV when TV first came out, they talked about that was the devil's box in people's homes. Well, you know what? It is today, for sure. For sure. But it didn't have to be that way. If the church had enough sense to say, listen, That's how we're going to get the word out to all nations. And we're going to take over this thing called TV, and we're going to take over this thing called radio. You know, the world might have been a little bit different, but the church was so bad preaching against it because it wasn't holy that they were too late in getting in to be able to control it. So now they just hope they can pay a little money and be on a channel somewhere. And on the same channel where you got a bunch of mess coming in every day. Right? You know, holiness is our behavior, how we act. And it's not only our behavior and how we act, it's how we act based on what God's Word says. And I'm telling you, when we take a look at our life, I don't care how holy we think we are, when we take a look at our life versus what the Word says our life is supposed to be like, it would never be perfect. We always would have room for improvement. There's not anybody in here that I know of that couldn't use just a little more patience. There isn't anybody in here that I know that couldn't walk just a little bit more in love. There's not anybody I know. See, and some days we're better at it than others. You know, some days we're walking in love and we're doing what we're supposed to do. And some days we wake up and we go, today is just not the day for somebody to do it because I don't know how much in love I can walk. Had it been yesterday, I was good. But today? Now, you know, but we got to be steady. We got to be constant. Because the Word doesn't say you can take a break in walking in love. The Word says we're to walk in love. Jesus walked in love. Now look, the Bible says be angry and sin not. We see that there were times where Jesus was angry. But he didn't sin. He addressed the issues. The only problem that Jesus ever had and that he talked pretty harsh and hard to was the religious people who were trying to put a lot of rules and laws and regulations on people that they themselves didn't live. Right? Like, probably like, whether women should have long hair, whether they could speak in the church, whether they could have any makeup on, you know, all those things. We got to strive to live in peace with everyone and pursue holiness. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 in the Amplified too, Dougie. Most of these, until I tell you different, I want to go Amplified. It just breaks it down where the rubber meets the road. Strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. So the Bible's saying it ain't just enough to get saved. You know, lots of people don't want to die and go to hell. But without holy and being holy and consecrated to God, the Bible says, which no one will ever see the Lord. It's not enough just to get saved. We've got to make the Lord of our life, not just Savior. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. Everybody wants to be saved. But have we made him Lord of our life? In other words, if I've made him Lord of my life, the Lord of my life will direct me. And how does he direct me? With his word. How does he discipline me? With his word. Right? So people can say, well, I just don't believe that that's what God meant in his word. Well, why do you think he said it? Well, but that was for that day. No. If that was for that day, only people back then could have got saved. Only people back then could have got healed. It's for the entire church age. Every bit of this word is for you and I. Every bit of it, I don't care what the world's doing differently this day. The word of God and God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He may be different in the way he moves and operates and how he's trying to get across to people, but what he said is truth. And what he said is what we got to do. It didn't change. And you'll find nowhere in the Word that says that it'll change. As a matter of fact, he said, look, all this other temporal stuff on earth, it'll all fade away. But the Word of God will remain. Because it's truth. So it's truth no matter what you think about it. It's truth no matter how you try to excuse it. It's truth no matter what our circumstance and situation is. The Word of God is truth, period. That's the way it is. We pursue holiness. How do you pursue holiness? By reading the Word of God. We pursue holiness by studying the Word of God. We do it by meditating on the Word of God. It'd be helpful if we were doing the Word of God to be a doer and not a hearer only, right? That's what renewing the mind is. Reading, meditating, studying the Word of God. And doing it. That's what renewing the mind is. Sometimes we have to do the Word when it's uncomfortable. And why is it uncomfortable to do the Word? Well, it shouldn't be uncomfortable to do the Word, but the way we've grown up in the society that we've grown up in, sometimes we'll go, well, you know, nobody else is doing that. Well, maybe nobody else is doing the Word like they're supposed to, just because it's acceptable to other people who are heathens. And just because it's acceptable to other people who might be Christian and excuse away why they're not doing it, doesn't mean that for me and for you who know better, that we can't do what the Word says. Right? We know better. The Bible says speak the truth in love. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. It doesn't matter what we think about it. And you know what? It doesn't even matter. I was watching this show the other night, Friday Night Lights, about football. Kind of like it because it's about football. And one of the things on there is there's a dad who's gotten all involved in this kid's life and trying to make him go all this different direction. And the coach is trying to get involved and say, you're really messing this kid up and all that. And the father goes, it's none of your business. Stay out of it. And then he goes and reminds him of a mistake that he made when he was an assistant coach at a college. He goes, don't go acting like you think that, in other words, what he was trying to say, don't act all high and mighty and holy when you've got this history. Okay? It doesn't matter about history. It doesn't matter about anything else other than what God would have me do today. We've all got history. We've all stumbled and made mistakes. We've all got faults. But my faults doesn't have anything to do with you living what God's Word says to do. Just because you know somebody else that's a devout Christian, that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you find some things that they do a little hypocritical, what's that got to do with you doing what God's told you to do? Here's the answer. Nada. But it's a good way to excuse things away. Right? We can't excuse things away. We've got to do the Word. You want to be pleasing to God? Study the Word. Do the Word. Get your mind renewed. The mindset and the discipline that we have will determine the life that we live. Do you hear that? The mindset and discipline that we have when it comes to the things of the Word of God will determine the life that we will live. There's lots of us that we want all God has for us. We just don't want to do what He said to do for us to get it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Well, I ain't got time. You know what time I got up today? I don't care what time you got up today. God don't care what time you got up today. So what was it about that caused you not to pray? Well, I was listening to Bubba Love Sponge on the way to work, and 102 Jams, and they really had a good morning show. I'm sure that was real feeding to your life, wasn't it? God wants us to experience His blessing, and He wants to see His promises come to pass in our lives, and He knows that if we'll transform our thinking to agree with His Word, we'll get what it is that He has for us. That's how it happens. Because if we'll get our thinking to agree with His Word, our lives will produce godly results, the results that God would have us live. See, when we were born again, we give our lives to Jesus, and when we do that, we're allowing Him, we sang about it this morning, we're allowing Him to reign over us. He reigns, He's the Lord of our lives. And we've got to allow the sinful nature to die so the new nature and the new creation can live. So a lot of things that we were thinking when we came to God's not the right way to think. A lot of the things that we were doing before we came to God is not the right way to do it. You know? And so we've got, and we come and we get rid of the major stuff. You know, I'm guilty of this. I came to God and I go, I got rid of the drinking and I got rid of the drugs and I got rid of the running around and I got rid of the potty mouth and I got rid of all that. Hey, I'm there. But man, I still had so many attitudes to work on. You know, number one, I didn't have any idea what it was, what the real way was to go out and to walk in love and how to treat people. You know, I still had a tendency that, you know, I had lied so much when I came to God that sometimes I was telling lies and never even thought about it. Then the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about, that's a lie. Actually, he gave me my wife who goes, that's a lie. I go, okay. All right, you got me, okay. And I think the clincher was, really got me thinking, was one day somebody called, and I go, tell them I'm not here. She goes, I'm not lying for you. There, we were in Kentucky, snow on the ground, it's about 4 degrees, I'm in my underwear, and she goes, will you go outside, and I'll tell them you're not here. So here I am outside, I go, turn purple. So my wife wouldn't have to be lying for me. And then I'm like, okay, well, let's come up with something different. You know, tell them I'm not available. She goes, you are available. I go, not for them, I ain't. It's not available. That's not lying. But it made me start thinking about how I was thinking. And you know, just because it's convenient doesn't mean you can lie. That's a lie. God, the Bible says God hateth a liar. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to be something God hates. I want to tell the truth. Right? And you know, sometimes, even when I was a kid, I'd tell a lie. It'd have been a whole lot better had I just told the truth and took the whooping right then. Because then I housed it on the inside of me for so long that the anticipation of how bad the punishment was going to be made it so. Besides the fact that I'd lied. Tell the truth. You know, if you tell the truth, it's a whole lot easier. You know, I told so many lies that I couldn't even remember what I told people. So you can come and get a bunch of stuff taken care of with God, what you think's major. We always got stuff that God's working on. He'll want you to be a truthful person. You know, don't call in sick to work if you ain't sick. I wake up, and sometimes I'm not feeling real good. You know what I say? The enemy's attacked my body, it's obvious. But I go, what would a healed man do? A healed man go to work. So I get him to go to work. How you feeling? I'm healed in Jesus' name. But no, how you really feeling? I'm healed in Jesus' name. In other words, shut up. You know, people just want to talk you into being sick. I'm trying to confess my way out of it. Because that's the truth. The truth. Fact may be the enemy's hit my body. But the truth is I'm healed. Right? So, he knows that if we do that and we get our soul man to line up with what's happened in our heart, we put that old man to death so that the new man can live. And why do we procrastinate? Now listen, I want you to know before I start talking about some of this that I'm speaking the truth in love. So I want you to receive it that way. All right? But I want you to hear me very clearly. Why do we procrastinate in making the changes that God wants us to make? Why do we do that? Well, there's a few reasons why folks delay in the renewing process. And here's the main reason why. Many times, folks want to hang on to certain aspects of their old nature because they consider it something they like. See, when you come to God and you become Word of Faith and you start talking faith, you can't call in sick no more. Because you'd say, what would a healed man do? A healed man go to work. After I got a hold of this word, I changed in my company. I changed sick time to PTO, paid time off. I've got that policy in my company just so people don't have to lie to me, and they still do. One guy goes, yeah, I'm going to a wedding in Georgia. But he told everybody in the business he's going fishing. If it's paid time off, go wherever you want to. It's paid time off. You ain't got to lie to me and tell me you're going to a wedding. But he wanted to go fishing. Just don't tell me nothing. Just take it and go. Hey, I changed it so people won't lie and they still lie. You know? Because I guess he thought it would. I do discourage people, if you're going to take time off, it'd be a whole lot better. Mondays and Fridays are the busiest day in medical equipment business because the doctors are catching up from the weekend of all the stuff that happened on the weekend. People's been in the hospital. People's leaving the facilities and all that. And on Friday, they're trying to get everybody out for the weekend so you can get a whole new crew on the weekend. So I try to discourage them if they're going to take planned time off. I mean, obviously, if you're taking a week's vacation or 2 weeks vacation, you got to get the weekends in there and those days. But if you're just going to take planned time because you want to go fishing, you can fish Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Right? So I try to discourage Fridays and Mondays. But I know that's why he lied, because he lied because he wanted to take a Friday and a Monday and get all that together, and he felt like he had to lie and blame it on a wedding because he wanted to go fishing because that's when all his other buddies was going to get off and they could go out and, you know, drink themselves into oblivion and try to catch a few fish, which is normally what happens there. But why do people delay and hang on to certain aspects of the old nature? Well, there's some things that people have been doing that they find pleasurable. So what it is they procrastinate in doing what God says because they're hanging on to what they think are pleasurable sin. Now look, I know this is real popular teaching, which is why I'm expecting a lot of shouting and praising God when I brought it up. But there are certain things that people consider to be pleasurable, even though they know it's not right, they somehow justify that it's okay. But it just isn't. Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 26 says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. In other words, when he was the son of Pharaoh's daughter, the entire kingdom was his. There was nothing in Egypt, which was very prosperous and blessed during that time, there was nothing in Egypt that was not available and at the access of Moses, but Moses, for nothing other than the blessing of God, was obedient to God. Because he understood the pleasures of sin were temporary, Hey, if you say that drinking doesn't feel good, then you ain't ever drink. Because, oh, you can get a buzz going drinking, but you can also drink till you kill somebody. You can also, you know, I notice whenever they're showing these beer commercials, and, you know, beer always has the best commercials, the funny ones. You know, the guy wearing his tight jeans. They go, when you a man, we'll give you a real beer, not in them little skinny girl jeans. And, you know, some guy will do something sissy and a big beer can comes out of the sky and crushes him because he did something sissy. The beer commercials, have you ever noticed they're always the best ones? But they don't ever show nobody puking in the toilet. They don't ever show nobody that's totaled their car and killed people. You know, I've been there. I got a lot of friends that ain't here no more. I mean, a lot of friends. I'm young compared to old people. Hey, but I got, you know, I've got friends of mine that started dying from teenage years to their 20s and their 30s and just mostly because of their lifestyle. They got shot. One guy got married and his wife stabbed him to death. And, I mean, all this mess that happens, you know, and because of lifestyle. And, yeah, did it feel good? Yeah, it felt good for a short period of time until, you know, you started getting addicted to it. Anybody that's never done a drug, drugs feel good. But, you know, they don't show addiction to where people have sold and stolen everything, you know, that they can get their hands on and totally destroyed their lives and their families and everything else just to get that next bump on that drug. They don't ever show that. They don't show, you know, hey, there's people that I know and people will go, do you know them? I go, yeah. And I said, do you know how to tell if they're lying? And they go, how? I go, if their mouth is open. I've got people that I know that if their mouth is open, I know they're lying. It's just how they live. You know, is that what you want? Is that what you want people to think? And what we think we're doing in private, you don't think God knows? You know, there's people that secretly into porn. You know, if you're secretly into porn, I'd rather throw the computer out the door than let that hold me down. It'd be better not to have a computer. Well, I'd have to explain to everybody why I don't have a computer. Well, okay. You know, have you ever noticed that people don't go, so, hey, you got a computer? No, I got a porn addiction and I just had to get it out of my house. Right? Don't do that. All right, so, I got you, man. So, anyhow, if there's something that you know, that you're predisposed towards or whatever, and that you go after that you know it's not pleasing, then that's something, and you have to begin to confess things over your life. I have the mind of Christ. Christ doesn't think like that. I don't think like that. That's not something that's pleasing to Christ. That's not something that I'm going to have in my life. And I'm going to... Dougie, what did you do? Amen. So, we may not want to go through the process of allowing the Word to change our ungodly thoughts. You know why? Because they're the ones that we like. That's the truth. The truth is, the reason that many times we procrastinate on doing what God wants us to do is because we like them until they get us in trouble. Then we don't like them. But here's what the Word says. Be sure that your sins will find you out. If it's not pleasing to God, and you're doing it, what you're doing in private will be revealed in the light. It just will be. Hey, do you think this senator that's taking all these pictures and doing all this mess, did he not think, do you not know that once you type something in the computer and hit enter, or you click, do you know that that's something that's out there that's never going to go away? There's a record of it forever. I had a girl working for me at one time that one of the girls that was older addressed her, had pictures of her out partying on Facebook, and had her kissing another girl on Facebook. Well, this lady's a mom. And she's a mom. And so the lady downstairs goes, you know what? You do know that this stuff that you're posting, one day your son's going to be old enough to see this stuff? Is that really something that you would want them to see? Well, see, she's young and she doesn't think anything about it, but there'll be one day where she'll wish she hadn't done that. And had her mind been renewed to the Word of God, she would have known that. Because you don't let your good be evil spoken of. You flee the very appearance of evil. Right? And you definitely wouldn't want to do something that you're going to tell your kids that they shouldn't be doing. Oh, you do as I say, not as I do. Do you know that most people that had a drink got their first drink at home? Do you know that most people that are addicted to prescription drugs got their first prescription drug at home? Do you realize... Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Hey, do you know that most people who smoke cigarettes smoke their first cigarette at home? So that old do as I say do, not as I do, that don't work. It doesn't work. Plus, why, if we know the Word of God speaks against it, why would we do it? And particularly, if you're in leadership of any type. If you're in leadership of any type, you've got people that are just looking for a reason. Well, you can say, well, they shouldn't be looking at me anyhow, but they do. They do. You know, if they know you don't tithe, they're going to be looking. They know if you're caught up into something you ought not to be caught up into, they're going to be looking because you've put your life on public display and you've volunteered yourself to be there. People are looking. Holiness, without which no one will ever see the Lord. So we've got to live holy lives. However, when we go and live a holy life, we're positioning ourselves to receive all that God wants to give us. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Do that in Amplified 2, Dougie. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Therefore, since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit, and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. So we need to cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles body and spirit. And have you ever noticed when God begins to deal with you about things? You know, he'll deal with you about a particular subject. When you take care of that, then there's going to be another subject. Because as long as we live, if we're being changed from glory to glory, and we are, as long as we live, I don't care. I got a lady that's a patient of mine that just turned 105 years old. Medicare's denied her wheelchair for a year and a half. And I should just be able to put on the appeal, the lady is 105 years old. When she goes to stand up, it takes her like 3 or 4 minutes to stand out of a chair. And here's what it sounds like. You think I'm joking? That's what a 105-year-old knee sound like coming to straight up. But she does it just to get in that chair. You know why? Because every day she's going to be at bingo. We went to make a delivery, and she goes, you can't come between 1 and 3. Why? Because I'll be at bingo. Every day she's at bingo. And she looks forward to bingo, right? But 105, she's still learning stuff. One day she came here in the office, and I know why she's 105, because she's honoring. And I went down there and I said, I go, yeah, I was at your house, and I remember how your house is set up. And she goes, sir, can I tell you something? I go, sure. She goes, bend down here. I bent down. She goes, you, sir, are a liar. And I go, well, ma'am, I have been to your house. I go, here's your chair, and here's the kitchen, and there's a little table right beside the kitchen, and there's an old black and white 8x10 picture there of somebody sitting with a lady celebrating their 100th year birthday, and you told me that that was you at your mother's 100th birthday celebrating it with her, and that both her and her sister lived to be 102. She says, well, all that sounds right, but everything else is a lie. She didn't remember me being there, but how would I know that? She told me all that while I was there. And then it took her a long time to get in the chair, and I go, well, if I knew this other lady was going to have such a hard time helping you transfer, I'd have just picked you up and stuck you in the chair. And she goes, well, why didn't you then? I go, all righty then. But you know what? At 105, this lady, if we live to be 105, we'll still be learning. We'll still be learning. We should still be learning. And you can say, well, that person's so old, they're stuck in their ways. Well, you know what? If Christian people ever get so stuck in their ways that they can't hear from God, then they're just stuck and not in the right way. Worldly thinking, or stinking thinking, as I like to refer to it, causes us to be perverse and vain and empty and unproductive in the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, so this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in the presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, or no longer live like you did before you got saved, the Gentiles, do in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. In other words, their minds never been renewed to what it is that they're supposed to be doing. People who have worldly mindsets are indifferent about the things of God. People who have worldly mindsets are indifferent from the life of God because they're ignorant of who God is. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 18 and 19. Also in Amplified, their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it, that is, because of their ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to the hardness of their heart or the insensitive of their moral nature. In other words, it says, because of the ignorance, this is self-willed ignorance, because they don't want to know. They've said, I don't care what God says. I'm going to live my life. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what was that? That was another thing I noticed on this Friday Night Lights, which, by the way, they show teenage drinking and, you know, premarital sex and all this mess they got on there. And then one of the things they showed was a kid that's bitter at the world, and his dad worked on oil rigs, and he moved from place to place to place. And he said, what do you mean about you're just taking in the scenery? You talking about how there's no bars and 900 churches in that city? In other words, was making a negative remark of his worldview, that, you know, all the stuff that he wanted to go out and do, he couldn't do because it was so oppressed by the church. We have to be careful what we take in. sometimes we're getting those subtle messages. And by the way, he was making those statements while he was holding a mason jar of moonshine. How do you know that was moonshine? Well, I think I went to different schools together with them people. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge of every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. So what happens then? They go further into ignorance and sin. When you just give in to, hey, do whatever you want to do, it's none of anybody's business, you just go deeper into ignorance and sin. And the Word says that He gave them over to a depraved mind. Right? And you know, we don't want to be given over to a depraved mind. We want to do what God's told us to do. Have you ever known a believer? Man, they were sold out, loving God, doing everything they were supposed to do. Some major thing happened in their life and they fell out and they got worse. And you would say, you know, I could have thought that about a lot of people, but I would have never thought that that person would go that direction. How many times have you said that in your Christian walk? That's a shame, isn't it? That's a shame. Because it isn't about people anyhow. And they go, well, the people at the church. Forget the people at the church. God didn't do nothing to you. And it ain't really the people at the church. It's really you. There's a church that split over here. All this, man, I feel bad. I'd meet this one group of people of the church and they'd be talking bad about the other people of the church. I'd stop them right there and go, wait a minute. You know, I love y'all, but I also love them. I just think it's terrible that the enemy's got his foot in the door. Then there was another little group that broke off and I go, you know what? Let me stop you right there. I love you, but I love both sides on the other side too. And I just hate the enemy's done that. Right? If you don't give a foothold to it, it can't take in your life, right? You stop it. You stop it right there. At the last church I went to, I was the youth and associate there for years, and I would plainly say from the pulpit, if you want to talk negative about this pastor, you don't want to do it to me. I go, because I'm in covenant with that pastor, and covenant always protects. So if you want to get hit, talk about my pastor or talk about my wife. And I didn't mean it, but I did. I mean, covenant's going to protect. And that pastor, he had a loving pastor's heart. He was very compassionate. Sometimes I felt like he allowed people to run over him, which is why I think was one of the reasons that I was in his life, because I would help with things like that. But I was not going to let people attack him, because he was a good man of God. He still is a good man of God. And I wasn't going to allow that to happen. And there's many times that his family would say, because they've had some things happen at that church through the years, and they go, man, we wish you were still here, because we knew that if anybody had Dad's back, it was you. Because I had Dad's back. Wasn't nobody going to talk negative about him while I was there. And if they tried, I would say, you know what? Let's go talk to the pastor right now. And they go, oh, no, no. I go, well, what are you telling me for? That's what you just said is a lie. Don't know where it came from. Don't care where it came from. It's a lie. Let's go to the pastor right now. Oh, no, no. They would never come back. Because they knew it was a lie, and they were stirring up mess. And one lady come in there and said that the pastor's wife has got the spirit of Jezebel. When I got done, she didn't come back either. Calling the pastor's wife spirit of Jezebel. And you know what? The person who said it, as Larry Roar would say, the one who says it does it. It was actually the woman that said that was the one causing the problem. For the Christian, there's a new way of life, there's a way of life that is holy and devoted or consecrated unto God. And as believers, we gotta get rid of that stinking thinking that we had before we were born again. Whatever we thought it was okay to do before we got saved. Hey, repent means to turn around. So whatever we thought was okay to do when... But I was a good person. I helped little old ladies across the street. Well, good. But good don't get you to heaven. Living a holy life and giving yourself to God and giving all you've got to God, that's what gets you there. Amen? So, when we're in the process of renewing our mind, a transformation is taking place and we begin to actually agree with what the Word says. Listen, the Word says, let us shout for joy, let us be glad. Let us sing continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes delight in the prosperity of His servant. So tell me, now that's one scripture out of hundreds of scriptures that talks about that God wants to bless us and prosper us. Alright? So tell me, after what I just told you, that God doesn't want to prosper people. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We're blessed to be a blessing. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in storehouses, barns. I always say barns. You know, vats, houses, lands, bank accounts, businesses, be the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender to many nations, and not a borrower. You know, we're commanded, blessed, the blessing will literally hunt us down and overtake us. That's all Word. So you can't tell me that God doesn't want to bless His people. Don't tell me that God don't want to bless you. Don't tell me that God doesn't want to prosper you. Because you know what? That's a lie. That's stinking thinking. Well, I tell you what, every time I think I'm going to go serve God and give all I got and all that stuff, something just happens and knocks me down. It's like I just got this cloud that follows me around. Well, yeah, because you talk about this cloud that follows you around and how God can't do it in you. That ain't believing. Faith believing means that God can do it. God wants to do it. He heals people. He heals people. He still heals people today. He performs signs. He performs miracles. He performs wonders. You know, if you decide that God has something for you, and you go and do it, and you decide you're going to stand on God's Word and go do it, you know what's going to happen? It ain't going to be easy. It won't be easy. It'll happen if you'll stick with it, but it won't be easy. You ever done anything worthwhile in life that was easy? You just go do it. I've heard people preach about the sweatless anointing, but I hadn't experienced a bunch of that. I've experienced that you just go out and do what you know to do. You go through the things that you go through. And if you keep on being faithful, God's just going to do it. Sometimes I might not be headed the right direction, and God will give me a little veer and a U-turn to get to where I'm going. Because maybe I took a wrong turn along the way. But He's going to get me there. And it's dependent on me and how much I believe in His Word, whether or not it's going to happen and how long it takes to happen. But His Word gives you the promise. A sinful lifestyle and stinking thinking cause strongholds to develop in our minds, and sometimes they're difficult to get rid of. So, our minds have got to be renewed with the Word. Look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 20, and I'm going to read the rest of that chapter. And in the Amplified, Dougie. But you did not so learn in Christ, assuming that you have really heard Him and have been taught by Him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in Him. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life. In other words, the way you used to live is what characterized your life, and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another. When angry, do not sin. Doesn't say don't be angry. It says when you're angry, don't sin. How do we sin most of the time when we're angry? That big gator right there. We start saying stuff. You know, I've told married couples, bottom line is you start name calling in a fight, you don't, the Bible doesn't say you can't fight. But if you go name calling in a fight, you just messed it all up. You don't call people names. You definitely don't call, husbands and wives definitely don't call each other names. And, you know, one of the things that I've taught in class here before on marriage is I've taught how to have a fair fight. Oh, you're teaching people how to fight? Oh, no, people teach themselves how to do that by themselves. But I teach them how to have a fair one. In other words, there's going to be times that you don't agree, but you better know what to do and what not to do when you're going to disagree. And it's okay not to agree with something. It's okay to draw a line in the sand about how you feel. But you don't start calling names. Right? That's not faith at all. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, your indignation last until the sun goes down. You know, if Kim don't know any other scripture, she knows that one. We get ready to go to bed and she goes, well, before we go to sleep, are we going to talk about that? I go, no. She goes, well, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I go, yeah, but I'll be a whole lot better to talk about it in the morning. She goes, no, we need to talk about it right now. I go, my Lord, if I'm going to go to sleep, I reckon I need to take care of this thing. I'm sorry. You're sorry for what? I don't know. I just want to go to sleep. Whatever I did, I'm sorry. Don't you tell me you're sorry just to get me not to fight with you. I know it's just at my house. Y'all don't do that. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. In other words, don't give the devil an opportunity. Whenever you walk away, when you know what God's word says and you do something different, you just let the enemy in. He just got his foot in your door. We can't expect that something good's going to happen out of us knowing what we're supposed to do and making a conscious decision not to do it. You just blew it. You went from the enemy sticking his foot in the door to pushing that big square button down there in both doors. Just, I mean, the biggest person in the world can make it through them doors. That's what happens when you give the enemy a foothold. And you know what? Just that little foot in the door opens the floodgates for the enemy to come in and to be able to wreak havoc in your life. Can't do it. You can't do it. And you know, how many times have we done it? And we've seen the results, and then still are tempted to do it. You just can't go there. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting in the need and occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not sadden or vex or sadden Him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation, and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment. Did you hear that? This is all stuff we're supposed to get rid of. Bitterness, indignation, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander. You know, gossip, we're not supposed to gossip. Gossip may be true, but probably shouldn't be shared. Slandered is an absolute lie that somebody made up, and you can't ever repair that. If you will go and say that that pastor touched me in a wrong manner, it don't matter if the pastor did it or not. The accusation can ruin them. You can say that pastor stole money. He was siphoning money out of the church. If you go and say that, and that wasn't true, or even if it was true, gossip something is true, you shouldn't be talking about, let the Lord deal with that, or the authorities of the church. But you go and you make that up, just the accusation could ruin them. I mean, you really want to be that responsible for somebody's life and for somebody who is innocent and didn't do it? You know, I see lots of times in counseling when people are getting married and divorced and remarried and stuff like that, I see all kinds of accusations against each other because they're trying to get money in court, or they're trying to get even with the other person because they're so hurt because of what happened. Look, you can't go there. It's not right. And it's a lie. No, they hurt me. They might have hurt you. But you know, you don't want to put that in your kids' minds and all that mess. Let it go. God's going to take care of you. If you really believe in God, God's going to take care of you. If you believe what God's Word says, He's going to do it. You keep a right attitude. Well, I ain't going to keep a right attitude. You know what they said to me? You know what they did to me? Ain't going to run all over me. Slander, evil speaking, abusive, blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice. What's malice? Spite, ill will, baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Some people think that when you're nice, that it shows weakness. Some people show that when people want to blow up and fight you or yell at you and scream at you and stuff like that, if you won't participate, what they think is that's a sign of weakness. It really shows the stronger person. That person is stronger mentally, that they can keep their emotions under control. No matter if everybody else is going off or not, doesn't matter. I'm going to keep my emotions under control. I'm going to do the right thing. Let me tell you, that takes a lot of work. Like I said, some days we're better at it than others, but it shouldn't be that way. We should be good at it all the time. Helpful and kind, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, our transformation by the Word of God has got to go so deep that it affects us subconsciously and it just becomes a part of what we do. In other words, I should have so much Word in me that there's no question. I just go and do it. Right? That's the way it's got to be. So, or within the spirit of our minds. Last scripture, Ephesians 4:23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So, I finished with this morning. What is our goal? What should be the Christian's goal in this matter of holy living or living a holy life? Number one is that we get to the point of doing the Word without even having to consciously think about it. The Word has become so ingrained part of my life. Now listen, there's times when something happens and it's like a spirit wants to come and overtake us right then and get us out of what we know. But have you ever noticed that we see people like David? David said that, what did he do? Do you remember what it says when they were going to kill him? He renewed his strength in the Lord. He called on that strength that he had on the inside of him. That's what we got to do. We gotta call on that thing and bring it up. He strengthened himself in the Lord, the Word says. Well, you know what? And that's not the only place in the Word where it talks that people did that. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And so when we feel that our spirit's out of whack because what's going on right now in this situation and circumstance don't line up with what we know on the inside, we need to say, Father, right now, I have the mind of Christ. Doesn't matter what it is that I'm going through and what it is that I'm feeling right now. I'm strengthening myself in you, and I'm going to do what you told me to do. One day I had a man come to my office, and he was mad about that I fired his daughter. Did I do everything right? Probably not. Was it justified? Yes. But did I do everything right? Probably not. So he comes in, he starts cussing me at the door. And he's yelling in the door, and he's just, I mean...